Oh, I dream till I want no more living water. Let me dream till I want no more living water. Fill me every day. Praise the Lord.
Are
we
ready
to hear the word of God?
Put
your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. Direct this word, Lord, and let your name, Lord, be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. We're going to do something differently today. I want one or two or three testimonies. Not testimony. I want some people to give tribute to their spouse. If you are the man that quickly something comes to your mind, you want to give tribute to your spouse, I want you to come forward. If you are the man, then the woman won't speak. If you are the woman, I want to give tribute to your spouse, then you come forward and the man won't speak. Only few people. Okay, I have a pastor. Who else? Only three. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I don't want too many crowd, but you must have something in your heart you want to say real quick. Praise the Lord. That could be all. Praise the Lord. So you are going to give tribute to your spouse just because it's going to lead into this sermon. And then let's start from here.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus. I'm very grateful for this segment and the opportunity to be able to do this. And this is not just a tribute to my husband, but a tribute to the Lord, because without him, it would not have been possible. It would not have been a couple. For bringing us together, the way we met was a miracle. And ever since my husband has been, you know, in my life, it's just been a wonderful journey. I want to thank him for being there every morning and for loving me and the children in spite of our faults. He's never been judging. He's always been caring. Like Pastor said, you know, you want somebody that always will enrich your life, who will bear your burdens, and that's what he wants to do. It's not like he has to do it. He wants to do it, to be the best that he can be, and to make every day to be a day of joy. That's his whole life purpose. He has no other agenda, no other purpose in life other than living for the Lord and for making his family the best family that he can have here on earth. And I want to thank him for his support, even in believing in me, in spite of me not even seeing myself the way he sees me. Me being an MP, I tell people I'd have been perfectly happy being a stay-at-home mom, not doing anything. But he sees something, he sees that potential, and he harnesses it, and he's like, you have to believe in yourself, you can do this. Never say never, never doubt, never say no. You know, take any opportunity, seize it, and run with it. You'll never know what can come up of it. He's been so understanding. He never doubts. If there's anything that I say, hey, I really want this, even if it's something irrational, he'll try to make sense of it and try to support me the best way I can. He's been there for the boys. He's always, I don't know. I can't even say enough of what my husband does. He's the one, he takes them to school, and he has a full-time job. He's there from 9 to 5. He takes the boys to school every morning, brings them back home every day. For their sports, he's the one taking them for all their sports activities. I don't, because my schedule is so tight. But he makes a way. Their homework, make sure it's always done. Groceries, some of you don't believe this, but he will do groceries, you know, especially on Sundays. Not general groceries, but he makes sure that the boys have whatever they have for school, like their snacks. He'll do it, you know. Any way to relieve burden from me. He does whatever he can, never mind that, you know, he's the man of the house. He's the man of the house. And he does whatever he can to make sure our home is in harmony. It doesn't matter how little or how high, how cheap or how expensive, he'll go all out all the way. And I thank God because he's been the best in my life. Like the other day, Pastor said, how do you know he's the one? I know he's the one. And I thank God for him every day. Boys, I mean, I could never ask for a better life, for a better husband, and I'm just grateful to him every day. So I thank God for him.
Praise God. I'm going to move to the younger one. Praise the Lord.
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Though I haven't been very married very long, I just thank God for my husband, Dabby, back there. He's the best. Before I even met him, I had specific prayer points. And I pretty much told the Lord that I would not date anyone unless they met those specific things. And Dabby meets them all. One, he puts the Lord first. He follows Christ as I follow him in Christ too. One thing that's very big for me are words. Words that are spoken to me, touch me very hard. And he's always uplifting, always praying. Now too, now that we have Judah, he's just very supportive. He takes good care of me. I'm just grateful. He's like the perfect person for me, and I thank God for him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You like the Pastor Dola.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't come out very often to do this, but today it looks like I'm in the role.
I can see your husband is praying right here. Not knowing what she's going to say.
Well, I guess I don't think any one of you knew, at least I haven't said so, maybe he has, my husband, how I met him. I was finishing high school back home, and so his friend, our pastor at the school, he was a chemistry teacher, so he came down from Lagos to visit he was his pastor too, so he came down to visit him. So while he was in the house, in his house, he invited him to talk to us. So we went over, and a few of our students, all girls school. So we went and we sat and listened to him talk to us about, you know, the tribulations of life and how we young people need to hold God and believe. And on that Sunday, we went to service in their church. So some of our students, we just went there and sat. He was the one that preached, my husband, then. So as I sat listening to him, I could see the zeal of God in him. That was what drew me to him the first time. And from there, I was pretty much, this is the one. Without him knowing, I already knew that he will be the one. So he left to Lagos, and I finished school, and that was it. Finally, I had to visit my sister in Lagos, and I went there to stay. So he, was attending the church. My sister was attending. So one day, my teacher, that chemistry teacher, came to Lagos, and they were looking for me. And I wasn't in the church where I was supposed to be, because he gave me an address of the church to visit in Lagos, but I never went. So I saw that they came to my house. They looked for my sister's house. I came, him and my husband then. So anyway, that's how they invited me to that church in Lagos. So I started attending that church. Finally, he left for the U.S. and there wasn't any connection about proposing and all that stuff. There wasn't but one day he called me. It was years after. He called me and started talking about marriage. Anyway, what I'm saying today is that my husband, the zeal of the Lord in him then is even more than now. It's over 20-something years. What has attracted me to him, the Lord is still working that in him today. Even as much as he was then, it is still now today. I thank God for him because he keeps the family together. He is the one, the head, and he runs the home the way that the Lord has planned for him to do that. He financially manages everything. He takes care of things that when they come up, and I bless the Lord for him always. And I thank him for giving him to me. We bless the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay. Pastor, second.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm glad that I stood up real quick, because otherwise maybe there would have been no guy standing here. It would have been only the women.
I would have called one or two guys.
So let me do this first on behalf of all of the men who didn't jump up like I did. I want to let you know that they all appreciate you, their wives, you know, and so forth. They were just, they probably didn't know. It's kind of strange what Pastor Julius asking and so on.
Well, you don't know what I'm going to preach next, so.
I was ready to jump up anyway and say, give a tribute to my wife, you know. So I want to thank God for my wife, because in fact, I was looking for a Valentine card, whatever. Oh, I know it's already passed. Oh, I gave her the card. But we had a nice time yesterday. Yeah, I mean, so I know that. But I'm saying that when I was looking for the card, you know, in the years past, you know, I used to get some cards, you know, I said some things, you know, and I didn't like any of those cards. This time, I was just looking for a card that would say something about the one, you know, because I know we were talking about that in the marriage workshop last time. So I found one card. I just said something about, I'm glad that you are the one, and I'm glad that, he said, there's a bunch of the ones there. And I just underlined it, you know. I was so happy. So, you know, I felt so thrilled. I gave her the card. I said, look, I found the perfect card, you know. Because sometimes it's like, oh, maybe you just picked out a card. No, I found a perfect card. And what I wanted to say to acknowledge my wife is that she has put up with me for 38 years. Praise the Lord. And actually longer than that, because we met a couple of years. I think we've been together for more than 40 years. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And she's actually the one that, because I've been very, very strict with my kids. You know, I was brought up like that. And also, you know, going to boarding school when I was a kid and so forth, you know, all of those things that we learned. I mean, you just, you know, like that, disciplinarian and everything. But, you know, my wife brings the balance, you know, in all of that. You know, and sometimes when I'm like, you know, what's wrong with these kids? And she always, you know, put the balance and so forth. So I really, I want to say that, honey, I appreciate that. You know, you're doing a good job with that and all that, you know. And she always kind, she's always there to make sure that, you know, support and everything. I remember the support, and this is one part that I really want to publicly acknowledge, you know, the support that I have received from her in everything, but especially in the work of the ministry. You know, I mean, it's just incredible. You know, she will pick up the pieces and do just about anything, you know, just, you know, because she, you know, feels like she's part of everything, you know, and she really doesn't wait for me to do, I mean, all the things she does with the prayer line and all these things and so forth, you know, it's not because she doesn't even want any credit for anything. She just likes to do the things, you know, and I really, really appreciate it. I remember one day too, you know, one part that I appreciate about her also is the, you know, she's a praying woman, that I appreciate that. You know, when you have somebody who's praying, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And she loves prayer. That's why she's always in those prayer lines and prayer, willing women and all these kind of things. And I encourage her to do it. And I appreciate that. One day we always have this prayer every day together, you know. And one day, you know, yeah, I don't know what came upon her that day, you know. She prayed this prayer, you know, I mean, it was more like an encouragement, you know. She would just kept praying, you know, that I would not be discouraged and so on and so forth. She was just saying so many things, speaking so many things for my life and so on. And I said, wow, that is great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, and sometimes I do get discouraged. I mean, that's the truth. But I've never admitted it to anybody. This is the first time I admit it. I don't admit it to my wife either, you know. But I don't like the devil to get any laugh about anything. Amen.
Amen.
So I just, you know, I just put up a strong face and all that all the time. Don't worry about it. I cannot be discouraged, you know. But, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, what's going on and so forth. But she's always there to always say something, always pick up the pieces, pick me up and all of that. So I truly, truly appreciate it. In our home, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. For many, many years, she's been there, very caring, always thinking about, you know, the family, the children, and so on and so forth like that. And I think we make a good team. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
even today, she dressed like me. I'm not the one that dressed like her. Let me tell you that one. Today she dressed like me. Praise the Lord. I picked out this shirt first, and I laid it on the bed. I just put it on the bed when she came. I knew that she's good. I knew exactly what she was going to do. I just picked the shirt. I put it on the bed there, you know, and then I pretended as if I didn't know the shirt was there. And as soon as she came in the room, she said, ah! I was thinking of what to wear. I think you picked it, but I didn't answer anything. She said, ah, you know, this and that. So I was just inside my mind. Because I knew she was going to do exactly that. You know, she has gone a long way in actually getting me to wear these kinds of clothes. You know, and finally I start liking them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, she got me to wear all the Nigerian clothes and so forth, outfit and so forth. You know, and you know, I started liking it. You know, after a while. So, you know, and she loves to enjoy good things of life as well as I do. You know, so I am thankful for a wife like that, and thankful that she's been a great mother and great grandmother to not only our children but our grandchildren. And I'm looking forward for her to be a great, great, great grandmother.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Happy Valentine's Day, sweetheart. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor Julius, for letting us do that.
Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When you open to Proverbs chapter 31, you will see why the Lord wanted me to do this, or He wants me to do this today, and I started with it. You see, in Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible, right now, you see, we're talking about Proverbs chapter 31, where the wisest man Solomon was talking about the virtuous woman. Virtuous woman. Now, don't think, well, gee, I would have gone to talk about my wife. But gee, if your wife talk about you, she's virtuous. So that's why I say it's not just the men that is going to talk about the women. The women can talk about their husband too. And the reason why this is very important, you will see it as we go along with this sermon. When you look at Proverbs chapter 31, from verse 10 to 31, Solomon describes what a virtuous woman is to a wife, virtuous wife, we call it. I will read for one few verses, and then I will describe, I will key in on some key verses that really matters here, because I am going to affirm somebody here. But instead of me affirming somebody, which is my wife, that's why I want all you guys, all you ladies and you men to shine in, to see that this is not just one man affirming his wife, but this is a good thing, and God has a reason for making us do it today. And it's simply for some reason He has laid this upon my heart, and it somehow fall onto Valentine's Day. So it's not like I planned this for Valentine's Day. Remember that. In verse 1, he said, verse 10, Proverbs chapter 31, he said, who can find a virtuous wife, for her price is far above rubies? And he went on, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. So he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And Solomon went on in verse 20. In fact, let me read verse 14. Since she's like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. Let me first stop there, because I want to affirm my wife. Most of us don't do this often. Most of Africans especially, because we are not wired to speak like that in public. Not that we didn't appreciate the wives or the spouses, because sometimes the women do it better, but even the African women don't do it as much as the other women. But the Lord is going to teach us something about this today. That's why He laid upon my heart to do this, and I've been saying over the past 2 weeks, Lord, gee, how am I going to do this? They say, bring other boys and girls in to affirm, and you can see what they have said about their spouses. But now let me point to this first verse. He said, she bringeth her food from afar. Let me tell you what some of this My wife, especially, but not only her, because there are some, when we were growing up, they started talking about this. These women, they have gone all the way from, look at where we live in Phoenix, Arizona. They will go all the way to Chandler, South Chandler, and go cook a, and go kill a cow. I can name the name, but my wife is the representative here that I know. They will go all the way to Chandler, far south, and go kill a cow. You say, why? Maybe you have a feast? No. I don't know where they got the idea from. They think that's cheaper. Some of those days, they drug some of us men with them. And we went there and they killed this cow, these Mexicans, in the farm. And they would pack the meat and divide it among themselves and bring them in and put them in the freezer for, that's going to be something we're going to eat for months. Those are, that's what Solomon was saying. She brings her food from afar. Because many of the time, people don't realize that what you are doing is actually what Solomon is talking about. You may not do all that he listed there, but the part you do, we need to affirm it. And say, yes, these are virtuous wives indeed. My wife being one of them. And not only that, there's a place called El Super, somewhere on the West Phoenix. It's a store. If you have never been there, I went with my wife just recently. You can as well go to Mexico, because they only speak Spanish there. I said, in Phoenix, Arizona, there's a place like this where they only speak Spanish. And you take the number you want to buy, it's the grocery store, and they have all this. Why will anybody go all the way there? For me, man, just go to fries and we pay how much, whatever it is. But the women think otherwise. Take a number. You can't understand what they are saying. They are speaking Spanish. You raise the number, oh, they know that that's not your number. They kept talking. Occasionally, you see some women that can speak English among them. I say, well, she brought her food from afar. That is way on the other side of town. So that is what Solomon is talking about here. He says she bringeth her food from afar. And that is another thing you can talk about a virtuous woman. And in verse 20, Solomon went for her. He said, she stretched out her hand to the poor, yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. Well, I thought I was generous. I always think of me generous. But since I married my wife, then I realized that sometimes she gave, and I said, oh, gee, I don't think I want to give this much. I was thinking I was generous, but the way she gave, I just said, well, she's giving it for both of us. I just kept my mouth shut. The Lord said, well, that's good. Sometimes when I was living by myself, I would go to the grocery stores and I'd say, well, this is 3.399 per pound, the meat. I said, nah, this is too expensive. I'll go to the 1.99 per pound place. But when I got married, then I began to see that, well, she preferred this 5.99 per pound meat. So I began to eat better. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I said, well, Lord, you just provide. I don't have to go to the grocery, because if I go there, my Ijebu, you don't know who Ijebu is, I just can't throw my money down for 3.99 per pound when I can see it for 0.99 per pound. But you see quality. You see quality in the price. So I just said, Lord, just keep bringing the money, and I have someone that's going to buy it for me. Praise the Lord. And prepare it too. Let me give you a very funny story. There was a brother, he's not here, so I can see if he, I'm not going to mention his name. He came, always come around to my house one time, and my wife said, well, we like to eat with us. Oh, okay. So he ate, not dinner, some of those lunch or evening. And this brother said, wow, I don't know that you Ijebus eat so good like this. Since that day, he's been hanging around. Praise the Lord. And I can pity the brother, because his wife is gone to work all night. And so I said, well, come along. Praise the Lord. That's why he said she reached, Solomon said it well in verse 20. She reached her hands to the poor. Stretched out her hand to the poor. Reached forth her hands to the needy. And another big one in verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So my brother pastor has just said, oh, this is the one that his wife always make him begin to dress that Nigerian dress. I can tell you, attest to this. Since I got married, I hardly go to the shop to buy clothes. I just look at my wardrobe and anything, I see brand new clothes. Sometimes I used to say, gee, stop buying these things. But after a while, I found out, well, it's good. It's good. Listen, I didn't know where it came from. I just saw it in my closet. I just, well, it must be for me. Praise the Lord. So that is how she, what does the Bible say? Our household has been clothed with scarlet. Praise the Lord. Because she buy my clothes. Let me give you one more that's even good. When we started this marriage thing, you know, I was telling a friend, I said, you know, when we were coming out of colleges and we followed the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us thought of marriage. We thought, well, the Lord is coming soon. I remember when this thing started in 1975 or 76, a brother and a sister were already engaged or planning to get married, and I saw this brother stood up in the congregation and said, if you are thinking of getting married next year, forget it. The Lord is coming soon. I could see the sister trembling because they were already planning their marriage when they graduated. But we are still here. We are now grandparents. The Lord is still coming. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is still coming. Hallelujah. So what I was saying that is, we were all not thinking of raising children. Very soon we were raising children. Very soon we were marrying the children out. When I came from Africa, the dress, I let me give something funny. Yesterday, the shoe that I brought from Nigeria, the shoe that I wore when I was coming out of Nigeria in 1981, I still have it, and I put it on yesterday, and I said, wow, this shoe fits. So that's how you can tell this man was a vulgar, he doesn't buy things. But what I'm trying to point out is the fact that my wife, when we started getting to the point we're going to be getting all the children married, and Nigerians are now getting, you know, children are waiting, and we have to be wearing all this African dress. And the Lord released my wife, said, well, go ahead and buy clothes, except for this man who's not going to buy. So to the point, there was a time that we were doing a wedding in Capstone, or RBM we call it, and I put on this Nigerian dress that my wife got. And I was surprised, to my amazement, even the Caucasians were taking my photograph. Say, can I take your photograph, sir? I must be looking good. Praise the Lord. In fact, someone said, can I sit down with you and take photograph with you? I said, go ahead. So that is what is a look at what the Bible says. Solomon was describing it perfectly well for a virtuous wife. He said, also clothed with scarlet. And in finality of it, Solomon says something here, that our husband is known when he sits with the elders at the gates. Why? Because the woman has dressed up that husband, the virtuous wife. Praise the Lord. Sarah, go and bring what I said. So let me now point to the last verse that I'm going to point here. He said, verse 29, actually starting from verse 27, she looked well to the ways of her household, and is it not the bread of idleness? Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. Many daughters have done virtuously. He said, by thou excellest them all. So you should look at your spouse and say, you excel them all. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And that is not only, look, I like how my sister said about Bracken. He said, well, the Lord has given her the perfect man. That this is, and that is good. That is exactly what, and this is why the Lord is saying this. There was a story where somebody came but the Lord Jesus Christ and said, who is my neighbor? After the Lord gave him a story. He asked, who is my neighbor? After he asked the question that, and he said, well, do this unto your neighbor. And so I said, well, who is my neighbor? And the Lord gave him what? A story to answer. And he said, when you hear this story, then go and do likewise. So that is why he's giving us this, so that it's not just for me. He's saying, when you see all these things, you go and do likewise. Because he's going to go into the sermon. But let's look at the last verse of this. Verse 29. See, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Our children arise up and call her blessed. So I'm going to ask my daughter, Sarah, come and present to your mom. Because go ahead and present to your mom a gift. Let me say thank you to my wife there. Praise the Lord. See, our children shall rise up and call her blessed. And our husband also, he praise it up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are of the fruit of her hands, that's verse 31, and let our own works praise her in the gates. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let our own works praise her in the gates. That is exactly what he's saying. You see where I say, our works praising her in the gates, when people say, well, can I take a photograph with you, sir? Say, our works praising her in the gates. Praise the Lord. But why are we praising this today? It's going to coincide with what the Lord wanted me to talk about today. Last week we talked about a little bit about faith. But this is actions of faith. Amen?
Yeah.
Actions of faith is what I'm going to talk about today. Actions. So what we have just done here is action. Amen? And God looks for those things, those little things. It's the actions of faith. I believe. Maybe you have been praying for something for your spouse to be changed, your bow, this to do this and then. You need to, if you believe, if you pray, then you better act. This is an example of an action of faith we just did today. When you affirm the spouse, you are showing an action of faith. But I'm going to go through some Bible verses and show to us many of these miracles we see in the Bible. What we always forget is that these men or women, God does miracles because they took some steps. And those steps are critical. Otherwise, God will just fold his arms. Let's start with the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Father, help us to learn something from this exposition. In Jesus' name we pray. In the book of Mark chapter 5, verse 25, we see the story of this. Every one of us at Bible scholar, you know this story, so I'm just going to point to the actions that resulted in the miracles they got. Because you may be praying and expecting and believing, and if you don't take the necessary steps, you may not get what you have been saying you believe for. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman, Jesus went with him to a man that is asking Jesus to come and heal his son or his daughter. And as Jesus Christ went, verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now that is the summary of the miracle. But let's look at the steps this woman took. You believe that this great miracle worker can do this wonderful thing here. But see what she steps. She has to get up. The man is coming, he's in town, and the crowd was coming. She has to press through the crowd. Those are steps that you can easily be discouraged and change your mind and say, oh, gee, there are too many people, and give up. And she wouldn't have gotten the miracle. But we are talking of the steps, and God saw that step. There was a movie that was I can't remember the title of the movie right now. And they said these people came to look for Jesus. After he was, just the last day before he was arrested, they were lepers. And as they were coming, they found out he has been arrested. And before Pontius Pilate. So they were disappointed. This is the only man that can heal them of their leprosy. But because they were taking those steps, according to the end of the story, as Jesus Christ died on the cross, they were healed. Because they took their steps. But these steps are critical. There will be no miracle. And the steps could be as simple as affirm your family, your spouse. It could be as simple as that. To make the prayer you have been praying for years to work. Another story of the story of Naaman the leper. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm just going to point to these stories and see what are the steps these people took for God, that God answered. He just said, thy faith maketh thee whole. But it is the steps that they took that showed their faith. And God said, their faith maketh them whole. Naaman the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5. You know the story, I'll just paraphrase. This man was from Syria. A general from Syria, but he was a leper. And he had a slave girl that was working with, that he took some time ago and staying with his wife. And that slave girl saw that, see, this man is a leper. And she commented to the wife and said, if my master have gone to that prophet in Syria, in Samaria, he will heal him. And they believed. But see, look at the steps they took. They went to the king. The king said, I will write you a letter. And they took the letter. And the man came with money and with everything, just like anybody wanted to go to the doctor. Those are steps. God looks from heaven and sees your steps, that you really wanted this thing, number one. And you also believed it. So this leper, Naaman the leper came to the king, and the king said, no, we don't do, I not me. And the prophet said, send him to me. So he went before the prophet, and you know, he almost lost it. Because he was expecting it this way. The prophet didn't come out and say, just go to the river and dip yourself 7 times, you will be well. And he wanted to turn back and in anger. And his friends said, well, just do what the prophet said. We have come this far. We have come this far. This little thing will not be the, it may be just as little as dip yourself in the water. Or anything, whatever is the step. He took that step, and then there come the miracle. But those steps are very, very important. I remember the story that my brother here just said something. You know, the Lord can put something in your heart. Do this. If you brush it aside, that may be the step he wanted you to take. If you brush that thing aside that he said, do this, and you didn't do it, that may be the step he wanted you to take. And I want two stories like that came to my mind that I'm going to hear. Take example, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to a place where this same story that I just read in Mark chapter 5, that man came and said, can you come and heal my daughter? And Jesus Christ was coming. That's when the woman with issue of blood stopped him on the road. But as the Lord Jesus Christ came to that house, as he came to that house, he said he saw mourners. They are now weeping and crying and wailing, and oh, this little girl, and they're crying. And the Holy Ghost may put something in you. Let's say you are the evangelist, the preacher, that wanted to go and heal somebody. And the Holy Ghost may drop something in your heart. Talk to these mourners to stop crying. The girl is not dead. That was what Jesus Christ did. He faced the mourners and said, why are you making all this? This little girl is not dead. It's just sleeping. Well, that is a step. Holy Ghost can put a step like that into you, into your heart, that said, if you refuse to say it, and say, well, I better first raise the girl up first, then I'll come and preach to them, because then I'll be confident to say something. You just lost it, because those steps are very critical. God looks for those actions of faith. Otherwise, he will do nothing. So the Lord Jesus got turned to them and said, he's not dead, he's just sleeping, or she's just sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. And yes, they might laugh you to scorn, but you know whom you are following. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verse 36. We see another story here. I'm pointing to the actions that these people took that worked, that the miracle happened because they took those actions, because God is looking for that action to more like to put a stamp of approval on you that you actually believe and you are ready to stand the test. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, verse 36, there was this story of this woman called Dorcas in a place called, let's look at it, at Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, arms did, but she died. The summary of it, she died. And the men have tried to, they washed her up, about to bury this woman. Then they heard that Peter, Apostle Peter, is somewhere nearby, another town, in Lydda. Think of it like one of our great evangelists is in Tucson. And something just happened in Phoenix. And they were about to bury the dead. And they heard that Peter was in Lydda. Now these elders, they have to take these steps. If they did not take the steps, there will be no miracle. The first step is, they say, wait a minute, Apostle Peter is here. Let's call for Apostle Peter, maybe something, maybe the Lord can do. You have to remember, when people are sick, people are already praying. They have prayed and prayed, and this woman still died. Now they heard about Apostle Peter is over there. Some people will have given up and said, well, why are we wasting time? We're going to go to Lydda to call Apostle Peter. Well, we have never heard about raising the dead since the Lord Jesus Christ left. Let's not waste our time. Some people will give that suggestion. But this man said, well, let's give God enough time. So they sent for Apostle Peter. So those are steps that I'm talking about. Steps of faith, actions of faith that must show forth that you really believe. And they called for Peter, they were weeping, show Peter, this is the woman, and then Peter sent them out and knelt down and prayed, and the Lord answered. But the Lord answered the faith of this man. That's what I'm saying, these actions. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4, we see another story of this Shunammite woman in the days of Elisha the prophet. You can read your story, because I'm not going to go to the story, but I'm just going to summarize what happened in that story. This Shunammite woman had a daughter, a son that it was Elisha the prophet that prayed for her to have a baby, and the baby now 5 years old, 7 years, who knows. And the baby died one day. The woman was furious. She put the baby in the room that they have reserved for Elisha the prophet anytime he comes to town. And she asked her husband, please, can you send me one of the servants and a donkey? I need to go to the prophet. The baby is already dead. I need to go to the prophet. I said, why are you going to the prophet? It's not even Sabbath. He said, it shall be well. So she ran to the prophet. Those are steps. She could have given up and just mourned and cursed God and cursed the God that gave them this miracle of the boy. But she believed that if this prophet prayed and we got this boy for 7 years ago or something, this prophet can come again and pray again. I don't want a boy just for 7 years. So she got to the prophet. And the prophet saw her coming afar and said, what is she? This Shunammite woman. It's not Sabbath. What's she coming for? Something must be wrong. Go and ask her, is everything right with your boy? Because suspicion. Elisha quickly suspected something is wrong. Anything wrong with your boy or with your husband? She said, everything will be fine. It is well. So when she got to Elisha, she fell down and grabbed Elisha by the feet. Elisha knew something was really wrong. But you see, the steps of this woman to go from this town all the way to that town just to get hold of this prophet when the boy was already dead. That is what we are saying. God is watching for those steps. Otherwise, nothing happened. Well, it's reminding me of a brother that, you see, this is why this is very important to us. When we were in Nigeria in the 70s, there is a brother that me and our brother Brashaz, we were the one that gave the naming ceremony for this boy in the northern part of Nigeria. And then we were back in the south, and this brother and his wife were living in the north. And sometimes something happened during that time that the little boy that we gave the naming ceremony to died, or something was sick. I didn't know about it until after everything was passed. And then this brother, I was told, the brother actually came down south to call some brethren to come and go pray for this boy after he was dead. And I didn't know about it until many months later, the brother came back again to town, and I saw the brother in the fellowship. I said, oh, how was your son? And he said, oh, the boy died. Then the voice just spoke to me and said, he finally died. The brother just busted into tears. And I felt in my spirit that the brother didn't do something. For that voice to tell me that, you mean he finally died? The brother failed to do something. See, God is not a God of the dead. He wanted us to live. Even little kids. So somehow, maybe steps failed him. Because when God said he's looking for some steps, if you don't take those steps, something critical will not happen. So that is why these steps are very, that's why he says, think about these actions of faith. You have faith, but you want to see the actions. When you take those steps and you put in those actions, then God says, I'm satisfied, then God gave you the miracle. But if you fail in those actions, like if the Lord Jesus Christ came to the place where they are mourning and crying, and he has not even gone in there to see the girl, and the Holy Ghost said, talk to them first, say, he's not dead. The baby is not dead, it's sleeping. And you say, and you don't say it, then you failed. So those are the steps. Those simple steps are very important. So whatever the brother didn't do, which I didn't know, the Holy Ghost said, you mean he finally died? Because maybe he failed to take some steps. Or they missed some steps. Many times we could have prayed and prayed for something to happen, and if it did not happen, and we get to heaven and we say, Father, didn't you say this? Didn't we pray? The Lord will show some steps you missed. And we will be saying, Lord, you are right. We are the one that missed it. But we need to study all those steps to see that we don't miss any steps when it comes to the actions of faith. Because except for the believers, God is looking for those actions. Now, I was talking to a brother sometime just recently. I said, I prayed when I was in Nigeria. They said my daddy had a stroke in the 1970s. And I was in another city, and I was already a preacher, preaching about in Lanate. So I went there, I prayed for him. I came back to my station. A week later, I had a vision. They said in that vision, half of his body was paralyzed. Okay, so I went back there, and the Lord told me what to do. I lay my hand on that half that was paralyzed, and I prayed over him. This was unbeliever, that my daddy, not really a believer in Christ like we, but our faith. And the Lord restored him. The half of the body that was paralyzed revived. Some years later, my brother, by the way, this is my brother that I'm going to talk about. It's my bigger brother, older than me by 3 years. He'll be coming for the next wedding by God's grace. Recently, he also had a stroke. He was also an unbeliever, just believing Christ recently. And I heard about it. In fact, his son called me and said, his daddy is this, that, that. He couldn't do this, and his half of his body is paralyzed, a stroke. And the Lord said, call him on the phone. So I call him on the phone. It's why I pick up the phone. I give it to him. Let me talk to him. And I talk to him, and I say, I'm going to pray for you. And I say, lay your hand upon the side that you say is paralyzed. The other hand, say, okay, I'm laying my hand on it. And I was praying over the phone then, and he was saying, amen, amen, amen. And I gave him the testimony. Remember when my daddy was there, 77, something, said, I remember that vision. I said, yeah, I went there and I prayed, yes, I remember that. Believe. And this, my brother, is the paralyzed section is well now. And I said, look, these are unbelievers. But why God performed wonders quickly for unbelievers and Christians, it looked like we cried and we don't get it easily. God is saying, you are to be built up as servants of God, as children of Most High God. God performs wonders to unbelievers easily, but to you believers, you got to know your right. You are the son, you are the daughter of this same God. The son and daughter of this God, you are to be taught so that you can claim your right and you can call it from your father, and you shouldn't be forgetting these steps that we are talking about. Take those steps, it is very important. Because it says the steps of the faith of these people that say their faith healed them. Their faith healed them. 2 Kings chapter 4 is the last one perhaps I'm going to talk about. Because this how we can go on and on and on and on, talk about different steps that these different people took to get their different miracles. Especially when we say we are believers, we should be getting a miracle easily. In chapter 4, verse 1, that is 2 Kings. This is the story of another woman. So you can see women can get miracles sometimes faster than the men too. In fact, the Bible said women got their dead raised back to life because they could be adamant they wanted this thing, Lord. But this woman, she was a widow, had two sons were going to be taken away from her as servants. So she ran to Elisha the prophet. and complained, said, "Thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that my servant, thy servant did fear the Lord." Said, "The creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." So this woman cried unto Elisha the prophet. And Elisha said, "Gee, what are we going to do?" So she actually came to seek help. That is a step in itself. To run to where, you know, "I believe this man can pray." It's a step in itself. Okay, she got to the prophet, and the prophet said, "Gee, what are we going to do? What do you have in the house?" Because if the prophet of God has money, well, she'll say, "Well, I'll just pay off your debt." "So what do you have in the house?" He said, "Well, we have nothing except this pot of oil." "Okay, you're going to have to use the pot of oil for miracle." But look at the story. It was the woman that acted. It was the woman, the steps of this woman. You say, "Oh, it's because Elisha the prophet was there." It was the steps of this woman. That is what you have to remember. Because people are looking for great evangelists. We are looking for great pastors. God said, "I've given you a testimony here before." God said, "Why do you keep going to evangelists? I'm here. Just talk to him, the Father, your Father, our everlasting Father. Get hold of him if you are a child of God. Don't be looking for that great evangelist. Oh, it's because Elisha the prophet was there. That's why the miracle happened." Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, of course, there's some element of that in it. But God wanted you and I to come to that level where we can ask him directly and get this miracle. But know the steps you have to take, and don't back off from those steps when the thought comes to your heart. This is what you should do. Take those steps, and the Lord will honor those steps. That was what you see in this story of this woman. After she ran to the prophet, and the prophet said, "Well, what are we going to do? What do you have in the house?" "I have a pot of oil." He said, "Well, go borrow vessels, empty vessels, not a few, as many as you can. And just pour the oil into those vessels. Set anyone that is full aside." So she knew what was going to happen also. The story was not, it was not described. It just said, Elisha said, "Pour it and then set some aside," which means she already understood that there's going to be an overflowing of oil. And she believed. She didn't say, "Well, you have to do it, prophet. You are the only one that God's, your hand can do the wonder." No, she believed. She locked herself in and got all the pots and said, "Bring me more pots, boys." And he was pouring. And she poured and poured until she filled the place with oil. And came to Elisha and said, "Well, go sell it. You're going to pay your debt. You've got to walk and sell it." Suppose the woman has gold, a little piece of gold, and say, "Well, I only have this little coins of gold." Elisha will have said, "Okay, just get bags and bags and just throw those coins of gold and these bags will be full." She probably doesn't need to go and be selling oil. But you see, whatever comes to her heart, God said, "I will use that." Remember the story, the boy's meal. And God said, "I will use that." Whatever you have, God said, "I will use that." But you see, you have to take those steps. Actions of faith is what we are talking about. Let me finalize it with the story of Jehoshaphat. In 2 Corinthians chapter 20, Jehoshaphat. The army came against Jehoshaphat, and they cried unto God. They called all the cities together that this army is going to wipe us off. Just a whole city, a single city, Jerusalem or something like that. And Jehoshaphat cried unto God, said, "We don't know what to do." And the prophecy came up, said, "Don't be afraid. God is going to fight for you, but you are going to take some steps." Those steps is what we are talking about. The key step that we are going to look at is verse 22, in 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 22. From verse 21. After the second day, God said, "Okay, you go and face this enemy, but you are not going to fight. You are going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." So they praised the Lord, and the second day, he got all the good people together, they are going to fight. Now they said, "What shall we do?" He said, verse 21, they consulted. 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now that can be a thought came to us, what shall we do? And somebody suggested, "Well, let's just, God said we have won. We are not going to fight, let's just praise the Lord." And that was his step. Actions of faith. Take those steps and don't look back and see God perform the wonders. And when they started singing, God himself sent ambushment and the enemy was conquered. What we are saying is, all these little things that God will put in your heart to do, to substantiate your faith, they are very critical. And when you take those steps, God will balance, God will honor you, because He has promised that He will honor faith. See, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Somebody say, well, I have faith. Why is this thing not happening? Check your actions. Check your steps. That's what I'm going to say. You may say, I have faith. Why is this thing that I pray for not happening? Check your steps. Because if you have faith and you have prayed for something, and then you turn around, you speak against what you just believed for, you just violated faith. Or you took wrong steps, instead of a step in support of your faith, then you are violating the faith. So those are all the steps you have to think about. You may have faith, but think of the actions that your faith must show to the Lord, for the Lord to make the miracle you are expecting to come to you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Actions of faith, they are part of it. What we just did in the earlier part is part of the actions. You have been praying for your family, praying for your spouse, that Lord, bring unity. Lord, bring me, they say, take some steps. Your step may be just affirm your spouse. And when you do that, then the prayer you have been praying for then is answered. Because God says faith without action is dead. It's like faith without works. Those are the works that your faith is going to show to God. Let's stand up and pray. That's all, the end of the sermon. Actions of faith is very important. Let's stand up. As you have listened to that, just think about yourself, because you may have some things you have prayed for. Because that's what sermons do for you. When you hear sermons, it will make you think back of what you have asked for and you have not got it yet. Maybe you didn't take those steps. Maybe an idea came to you, you didn't pursue after. Even if it is business ideas and you didn't follow through, that may be the action that you missed. Because God works with man. He wants to work with you. You take the first step, then He helps you to take the second step, and then He's going to run to you if you take the first step toward God. So let's pray. Begin to pray to the Lord. Thank the Lord and ask the Lord to help you now. To Lord, help me with all my actions and steps that I need to take to make the miracle I'm asking you for, to make me receive it. Give me the grace to take those steps and not fall back. Help me to please you, Lord, because it is those steps that we have to take to please the Lord. And then He will answer us. Faith without works, Apostle James said, is dead. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this few exhortations about the actions of faith. Those actions help us to recognize it. When you put it into our heart, let us not brush it aside. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to take those steps. Give us the grace to take those steps of faith. And when we take those steps, let our miracles manifest. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Shall we sit down? The praise team can come back so that we can go and do the... If you have some offering that you want to give to the household of God, just put it in the envelope. They're going to give you envelope in a moment. And then when they are singing, just bring it to the baskets here. Give us a song.